Yes, we're moving into the digging area. We've talked about our motive, and we can know what our motive is, and different steps on how to do the discerning and the different tools that God has available. But we're not just talking about things that are happening today. Well, today I felt this, and last night I felt this. We may go back, remember a few days back, but God wants us to be able to dig up the roots, go back to the source of these evil spirits. So could you address that?
Yes, the digging is, well, one scripture that comes to mind is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess on our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So one of the prerequisites for being cleansed or having these spirits cast out is to first confess on. And this involves a lot of confession because we don't just go in and confess on, I lied yesterday. But we need to dig on where that lying spirit first came in, or else we won't have the cobweb. We won't have the roots. God wants us to go back and get to the root of the matter. And example or visible picture of this is like when you go out and weed your garden, you don't just chop off the tops of the weeds because they're going to jump back up the next day or two. You want to get at the roots and actually pull it up out of the ground so that that thing will die. Well, in digging, God wants us to get at the roots of all these cobwebs that are working in our mind that make up our old man. And sometimes spirits just kind of blow that off and say, you mean I got to confess on everything my mother said to me and so on. Well, that would only be an evil spirit that would not want to do the work of digging, maybe for fear of being hurt again. Because we've been in a lot of situations where we felt a lot of hurt and a lot of pain in the past. But God wants us to know that we need to face those situations once and hopefully for all, once and hopefully it'll be the last time that we have to look at those, because then we can get the grace power to cast them out. And another scripture on this is where this boy that was cast into the fire and the spirit that would cast him into the fire and into the water came to Jesus. His father actually brought him to Jesus. And Jesus asked how long has he had this spirit, and the man said, of a child. So that traced it back and showed that this spirit came into him. Well, discernment can help us trace back to the beginning of when we ever felt that spirit. And that's a very important thing, to realize that there was a time when we did not have that spirit. And if we were without that spirit at one time, it came into our mind. We were not born with it. It came in. We can discern it. We can cast it out. And we can be back to that state again where we didn't have that spirit. So that's a very important point to get at in discernment, is when that spirit first came in. And that's what the digging will do for us.
Can you give us some clues on how to dig?
Well, one instruction that has been given to some of us, I don't know if it's been given to all of us, but write an autobiography. Not as in Benjamin Franklin's autobiography or something to be sold on the press, but but it could be our personal notes that would be between us and a discernment vessel, or between us and God, actually, because that's a gift. So we go back to situations where maybe we moved from this house to this house, and the spirits that came in at that point in time, and maybe we went from kindergarten to first grade, or maybe it was our first day in kindergarten or our first day in first grade, if that was the first school that we ever attended. Go back to each and every one of these situations that we can remember in the past. Maybe if we got some award for doing this or that, or maybe if we were the last one chosen on the football team or whatever, and how did that make us feel? Or even back to the roots in the family. Did mom and dad get a divorce? did we have brothers and sisters? How did we feel towards our older brother, if we had an older brother or sister? Or how did we feel towards the younger ones? And all of these spirits that got planted, the things that are working now in our mind with this old man, they would have their roots probably way back in our childhood.
So you're saying that our history of our life will be the history of our old man.
Basically.
And that the sins that we're committing today got planted back when we were young, so we need to confess on those sins back there as well as the ones that we're committing today.
Yes, or else we're just getting the tops of the weeds.
Okay.
To narrow the field just a little bit, instead of it being it's an overwhelming task and there's no way for me to do it, we can get specific on the topics. And that is, if there's a particular feeling or a thought that we have in our life today, or it happened yesterday, maybe today we're feeling okay, but something happened yesterday, as was described earlier, we can write those things down in our book, and then we have a phrase that we use called paralleling, and that means, when did this same feeling happen in my life before? So we take, well, last week he said this to me, and it made me feel this way. Okay, when did it happen again? Or when was it another time that it happened? We take it back to, well, my mother said it when I was 15. And then somebody else said it when I was 5 or whatever. So what we want to learn to do is to take a current situation and take it back as many times as we can in our life until we get to that root point, as the scripture was given in Mark 9 about it came to him as a child, which is a seed that enters into the substance in our mind and then begins to snowball, unless it's a direct deposit of seed and a bunch of substance, evil substance, from an evil angel.
Okay, so we have an autobiography. We have a way of tracking a spirit that's working today back through paralleling. First I've heard of that. Paralleling. We also have a chart called discernment areas. And it's not quite a smiley face. It's sort of like, aha, I caught you, face. But it has a whole ring of different areas of our history, whether it's medical, music, family, smoking, drinking, driving, sex, finances, wherever it might be, then we can pick one of these areas and do the same kind of thing. That can help trigger the memories for the autobiography. It can help trigger the different thoughts that I might have had today when I had to go to the dentist and, ooh, I didn't want to go to the... Well, let's take that back. There's a whole area that can be tracked back. And so if you don't have one of these discernment area tools, I'm sure many are available for you to have hold of.
You can go through and ask the list of your relatives. Brothers, sisters, parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and just, you know, either listen to the name, but then think on them and see what comes to mind. Whether it's your family reunion situations or something will come to mind about different people, and again, you're just trying to track down general things. If somebody's a saver, look through old photo albums. Not that the guy wants to do that on a regular basis, but for discernment purposes, reread letters. Look at your yearbooks. See what people wrote about you. Look at photo albums. There's clues every place that will help us. It'll bring back to mind various stuff that God... And then you're trusting in the spirit of truth that God will bring back what he wants you to look at. And all it may take is a little memory jogging, looking at a photo or thinking about a person's name or face, and he'll bring back to your remembrance what he wants you to look at. You just dig at any place you can dig.
But Jesus said, don't look back. Why are you saying that we need to look back?
Because you got to see it to begin with. And then once it's out, then you don't have to look back and dig through it again and again and again. But the things right now, it's like it talks about in John, what's evil doesn't want to come to the light, because when you come to the light, those evil deeds get reproved. Mm-hmm. So there will be thoughts in our head that will want various situations and thoughts and actions that we've done to never come to light in our mind. we're embarrassed about them, or we just want to forget about them, or we just don't want to ever think about them, or whatever it is, and they don't want to come to the light. Well, once they've come to the light, they've been reproved, they've been corrected in our head, then we don't have to think on them anymore, because the emotions are gone. But,
so when we go back over the books or the yearbooks, it's not to go back and start reminiscing and getting sentimental and, oh, shucks, they really felt that way. Oh, I remember them, they were so good. It's not to get our head back into that time for re-having the same feelings over and over again. But it's to discern, well, if there's a feeling there, okay, write that down and move on to the next one. And write that one down and move on to the next one. Yeah.
I was also thinking that every time we're going down memory lane, or if we go back, it's also thinking about all the things that, because of the scripture explains that we perish for lack of knowledge. And where I am now compared to where I was then, to look at people, I accused people falsely. I became very angry. All these things that I shaped in this iniquity and I came to this point here. And so to go back, I also have to think about all those things that I held against people, parents, relatives, things that they did. And really, these things are spirits, not the people. Amen. So then I can free myself of that. I can better love them. I can look at them now and say, we're connected.
Praise God.
And it's not so much us as it is the enemy.
Amen. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that have trespassed against us.
I can say that with the whole heart.
Amen. Amen. We can learn that that was an evil spirit that was in them. They couldn't have given it to us if somebody hadn't given it to them.
Amen.
And take it back, take it back, and take it back. And where is the source? The enemy is the devil that's been passing these along from mind to ear, mouth to ear, all the way through the generation after generation. The revelation, praise God.
We need to bear in mind that our purpose on digging and then taking these things to discernment is not to do a natural work of, let me see how many times I could find that the Spirit worked. The point of digging it and talking through it is to learn more about the Spirit, both in that past situation and in the current day. And the process is to come to see how did the Spirit get in my mind, so that now, as I am learning to get the Spirit out, I can keep it from getting back in my mind. I see the setup of how he first entered in when I was 5, and that can prevent a setup now that I'm older of him entering back in. So it's not just to rehearse or recite, this happened, that happened, something else happened, but it's to learn about it. It will also make it less personal. If I'm having a relationship struggle today with a family member or a friend, and I realize that that happened in the past with a completely different person, I'll come to see that it's really not about that person and it's not about me. It's about thoughts that work again and again and again in various situations. It's not about today's person. This happened way back there, and it felt exactly the same way, so it's less personal. And the other thing to note is that sometimes spirits, again, will overwhelm us. We will get told to dig on a judging spirit or a fear spirit, and the way spirits will have us understand that is that we have to find every single situation in our life where we ever judge someone, and that's all got to be confessed on. And that's really not the point. As we heard earlier, there's going to be big situations. We're going to count on God to remind us of the situations we need to learn to look at. Not necessarily every time a fear spirit ever worked is going to ever come to mind. It's not all going to be retained. It's not all going to come forth. But our purpose is to do it enough times to where, again, we have learned how does that spirit work. We've nabbed him. We've fingerprinted him. We know his MO. We know how he sneaks up on us. And we know him inside out. So again, it's always for learning. It's not a natural work. It is a spiritual work to cause us to learn something.
just thought it might be emphasized that generally we're told to dig on a certain group of spirits, so that's when the digging really starts to occur, but it does not stop there with what we're able to discern. But it's very important to take that list back to discernment and draw from that gift and see, is that all there is? Is there anything I'm missing? Another spirit that might be working on this team or cobweb, as it looks like we're getting ready to do, that will help me more identify how I was set up and got in the situation.
Amen. One thing that the spirits try to use with God is the butter-up motive, and the spirits will try to make it in our mind flowery, really wasn't too, really not all that bad. And we see a picture of that that the scribes and Pharisees used in Matthew 22:15-16, where they said, then the Pharisees took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the ways of God in truth. Neither carest thou for what any man say, and regardest not the person of men. So we see that they're not, they're just, they have the honor, they're saying, we know who you are, but they really don't believe that he has the truth in his mind. They're trying to butter him up, to set him up, and what do you think about this? And sometimes evil spirits all the time will try to not really, when we go back into our lives and say how we really felt, then when we come to discernment, we can feel it when we write it down, but when we come to discernment, many times the spirits will cover that up and say, oh, it really wasn't all that bad. It was just a little thing. But when that reality happens, we might have cried, we might have been really hurting, and then we come to discernment and we say, we laugh about it. But that's not, that's covering up, buttering up.
Bring again the discussion from earlier, just digging on spirits, to remember to continue to ask the why, that if I'm told to dig on a spirit, then to take the time to sit down and just think about it and start with the question of why do I do X, Y, or Z? And open up your mind and with various lines of thought, and not to be satisfied with the first answer necessarily, but to continue to ask, well, why would I do that? And where did that come in? Just continue to, whether you ask them out loud or it's just in your head, well, why? Where did that? You're having a conversation with yourself, supposedly, but God's really trying to help reveal something in your head. And as long as you keep pushing, more will get revealed. God's told us that the more you push that evil angel back into a corner, he's got fewer and fewer places to go and fewer fake answers to give you, and sooner or later, you're going to see something because you keep pushing on him, and sooner or later, he'll have to answer you and give you some answer to your question.
One quick point. As we talk about this today, there's undoubtedly going to be spirits come up that are going to make us afraid to be here. But we need to understand that the spirits in our head realize we're in a place where their happy home is in danger. So if we're having any of those feelings to get out of here, or what kind of place is this, we can use some discernment on it and know that's exactly what those thoughts in our head are going to be saying right now, because they don't want us to be here. They want us to remain ignorant.
I used to think about the scripture where the disciples said, Lord, where will we go? I have no place to go to. They go where I go. So they have to come out. And something else I want to share with listening to everybody, I'm so eager to open the scriptures because I know that now that you, when you look at the scriptures and I look at this man, Jesus, I see him in a different light. Now I'm looking at him in a light of discernment, how he dealt with those, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people at the time, the Romans. And these people were more or less just guessing here that the majority of them were filled with spirits. They were covered. They were surrounded by them. So he dealt with them. So when he talks to these people, I see in a different compassion. He had all knowledge. And instead of me looking at him as a man just walking in love and so much compassion and everything, I'm seeing now that he's also dealing with demonic forces, great powers that at that time, and how he dealt with people, and not so much as the person saying, I don't like you, I don't like what you're saying, or you're an alcoholic, or you're a drug addict, or whatever. He's dealing with the people as a physician. And he's seeing God what we could see. And I want that spiritual ability to be able to discern these things.
So he said to those people, you are of your father, the devil. You're not the devil. You're of your father because the desires, the lusts that you have are his desires. He wants to kill me. Why do you want to kill me? He's lying. Why are you lying?
Those questions, the why.
And that was discernment working in Jesus, loving them, hoping that they would be able to get the revelation that that was the devil working in them, because they turned around and did take counsel together on how to kill him after denying that they even wanted to do that.
The fear that was mentioned, one of the ways that will manifest is by speaking out of us, saying, leave me alone, or we may not speak it out, it may just be a thought in our mind. Why don't you leave me alone? Why don't you stop preaching on that or teaching on evil spirits? That's all I hear, evil spirits. Scripturally, we can look in Mark chapter 1 and we can see some very similar words. And it was evil spirits speaking out of a man. And it starts in verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. So this is the unclean spirit crying out of the man. 24, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, for thou art the Holy One of Israel, or God. So here it shows that the spirits are afraid. Have you come to destroy us? We don't want to be destroyed. We don't want to lose our happy home. So that's what the evil spirits are afraid of. And they're going to convince us that we are afraid of going through discernment, of setting in service and hearing these discernment lines of thought and so on and so forth.